This is Guy's Story, and you're listening to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, changing rock history one podcast at a time. My name is Lou Lombardi. Some people call me Ludini. You can find out more about what we have going on at LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com, where we do a lot of artist interviews. I like to call them story views, where we tell artist stories and play a little bit of music for you and have you get to know some of these amazing musicians out there that aren't really being featured, as shall we say, on corporate media. So check that out, LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com. And speaking of amazing artists and stories, we have Guy Story. He has the band right now, Story Town. And we're going to be listening to some Storytown a little bit later. We're going to be talking to Guy. He's a singer, songwriter, rock and roll musician. He's got an interesting background in technology, worked with Bell Laboratories, Audible.com. I love Audible. If you guys know me, you know I'm a huge Audible addict, and Amazon. So this is going to be a lot of fun. A little bit of business, though. If you'd like a little bit behind the scenes stuff, you're interested in knowing some background on the podcast, some background on me, some exclusive music, things like that, check out my Inner Circle. It's LouLombardiMusic.com/Inner Circle. That is LouLombardiMusic.com/Inner Circle. And it's all self-explanatory right there. All right, let's get to the story. That is Guy Story. Storytown is his project right now is a four-piece thinking man's rock and roll band showcasing the songs of Guy Story. Guy's originally from Mississippi and now lives in New York City, playing guitar since his early teens, and he's continued to play over the years while pursuing that career in technology that we were just telling you guys about. Guy, welcome to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
Thanks. So happy to be here.
All right, cool, man. So where are you right now? Where are you located right now?
I am located in Lower Manhattan. In okay. Soho, where I've lived for many years.
Okay, great. So why don't we take a little step back and let's kind of get the background story. You've been playing guitar since you were a young person.
And yes.
So how did you get into music in the first place? What inspired you to want to pick up the guitar and start playing music?
Well, you know, I'm amongst a zillion people, I think, who saw the Beatles on Ed Sullivan, and it kind of galvanized me. Also, you know, even before the Beatles, I remember just being into music, loving Elvis, the sort of pre-army Elvis, and in particular, Heartbreak Hotel. I remember as a little kid, maybe 5 or 6 years old, it kind of scared me almost. It was so powerful and otherworldly. So, and then I guess, you know, as a typical story is that I'll try to drop my name story into every as much as I can.
That is your real name?
That is my real name.
Okay.
Yeah, like, hi, Guy, what's the story? So, but, you know, I guess, you know, like a zillion other people, like I said before, I got interested in the guitar. My great aunt gave me an electric guitar, a Gibson Melody Maker, which was kind of it wasn't a super cool at the time. It seemed to me solid body electric, and I took some guitar lessons. And then from then on, it was, you know, I kind of always had a guitar with me over the many decades, you know, played in garage bands back in Mississippi and, you know, in junior high and high school. And so, you know, kind of, I've thought of it as kind of like people talk about the bug. I think of it as like a disease that you can never get cured of.
Okay.
No matter what I was doing, I had to have a guitar with me and be doing something.
You did not pursue music as a career or anything for a long time. So let's talk a little bit about your background in technology. And just so the audience knows, you have a great TED Talk. And I think you might be the first person I've interviewed that has a TED Talk. So I'm like I'm so not worthy. But go ahead and tell us a little bit about your technological background.
Yeah, you know, I was always good in math and science, and so the music thing for me, you know, seemed like it was something I just had to do, but that I was going to have a real career. real day job in technology. And I came to New York actually to go to graduate school in computer science. I didn't know what I wanted to do, and it seemed like I'll just keep going to school, I guess. So, and actually, I had a little bump in the road because I dropped out of graduate school briefly to try to do something in music. Realized I had no clue how to do it,
okay,
and or how to make any money at it. And so then I got involved back in doing research, finished my degree, and then just started working. And along the way, I played in bands. I had a blues band for a while, but an old college roommate of mine recruited me out to Bell Labs, and maybe many of your audience may not know that much about Bell Labs, but Bell Labs for a long time was sort of the preeminent technology research place in the country, and its main location's out in New Jersey. So I was commuting out to New Jersey working on research projects where, you know, it was just like a bunch of really smart people. I was in the same building as the people who invented Unix and the C programming language, the same location where the laser and the transistor were invented. So it had this rich, fascinating history of people who were being very creative in science and technology. So it was actually a great privilege to work there, and I worked on a bunch of projects and made a lot of friends and spent a bunch of time doing cool things, you know, with my guitar still not so far away.
Yeah.
Then I got recruited out of there to join Audible when Audible was getting started, and this is at this point, this was a long time ago. This was in 1996, if you can imagine.
Really?
I joined Audible, yeah, and which, you know, and when I talk about it, it's almost embarrassingly long ago. But it was before Wi-Fi existed, before the iPod existed, before a lot of stuff that we take for granted existed. So, and I was at Audible for 18 years, I guess, and that was also, that was a just tremendous experience working in, kind of, we were pioneers. Audible was pioneers in digital devices, playing audio and delivering audio over the internet. And I could go on that, maybe a different podcast.
Okay.
At some point I got, I sort of ran out of things to do at Audible. I took a job on the Alexa team at Amazon, which was super fascinating. Lots of super smart people, it's such a cool thing, voice interfaces to the cloud, basically. About a year and a half into it, I realized I just actually didn't want to. I didn't want to work a day job finally after all that time.
Yeah.
And the thing that had been sort of stuck in the back of my head was to have a band. I had never led a band myself. I'd been in bands before, frequently as the side man. And I thought, I'm going to make my own band. And that's sort of what brought us to where we are today.
Were you writing any original music during this time period at all, or was this new to you as well?
Well, I was, I didn't think of myself for a long time. I didn't think of myself as a songwriter. And then I started collaborating with a guy. I worked with a guy back when I had quit graduate school for a while. I took a shot at it with a collaborator who was a singer-songwriter, and we started co-writing songs, and then I ended up making home recordings then, and I learned that I could make pretty good home recordings, and I was a pretty good arranger. So at that point, I realized I could write some, but I hadn't written myself. And then once we moved on from that project and phase of my life, I started writing a little bit. When I had the blues band, I wrote a couple of tunes that we performed. And so then I wrote, I knew kind of what it was like to write music and to write songs and to do that all myself, and I knew how to arrange them. But I really accelerated that process when I started Storytown, and have been writing a lot more intensively the last couple of years.
Do you write primarily using the guitar then?
Yeah, mostly I sit around and fool around on the guitar, and a typical, not always case, but is that, you know, I'm, depending on my mood or what I think I would like to write, I'll just try to come up with some kind of rhythmic figure or riff or groove or something guitar-based, because I'm really a guitar player. I can play drums, I play bass, but I'm not a keyboard player. Otherwise, I think I would probably spend some time composing on the on a piano, but the guitar is super comfortable. So it's a kind of a process of wandering in the dark until discovering some something that sparks my interest.
When it comes to the lyrics, now we're not just saying this because it's just so the audience knows that just because your last name is Story, you have a great TED Talk about storytelling, and so. I'm going to assume that this is in your consciousness to some degree whenever you do sit down to work out lyrics. So what is your feeling about that and the power of the this format of song that can really communicate to people our story, even if a song doesn't have a obvious narrative? I mean, not every song is like Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald or one of these, you know,
yeah,
a story,
right.
But there's always that, sure, that narrative. So could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. I mean, this is actually a very important aspect of this for me is, you know, back to that kind of wandering in the dark and then finding something of interest, like some semblance of something. Gradually, I feel like it's a process of discovery, almost like I'm finding a thing that's buried in the ground that I'm trying to dig around it and finally, you know, grow the thing into a thing. If that's a very stupid way to describe it, but each song for me has its own like internal, you know, life.
Yeah.
And so in many ways for me the whole process is trying to discover what that thing is, and you know, draw it out, elaborate it, make it more strong. And so each song is, you know, for me, and you know, the ideal case that when it's successful, the song is a 3.5 or 4 minute like little world into itself. Yeah. And to your point, it has a beginning and an end, and you feel like when you're in the song, you're in a place, and it has a narrative to it. Like, you know, as you said, it doesn't have to be an explicit story that's being told, but you feel like you've arrived at a place that's got its own feel to it, its own texture, maybe its own characters, and that it's a sort of satisfying experience from beginning to end. I mean, that's kind of what I strive for, and I'd like each one of them to be different. That's the other thing. And in that TED Talk, which I thank you so much for noticing it and listening to it, but or watching it. But I one point I make is that, you know, when the commercialization of the format for audio was arising, you know, they ended up with these 78 RPM records that had a limited amount of time on it. And so essentially we've been constrained to a large degree for many decades to creating that beginning, middle, and end experience in this short amount of time. And it's amazing to me that now, you know, with digital distribution and internet and iPhones and whatever, you know, you could write 12-minute songs or 75-minute songs or 30-second songs, but we all seem to kind of like that length. Yeah. We've sort of stuck with it. It sort of works. And so I don't have a good explanation for that, but I do think that that sense that there is a narrative arc to the song is important. And if the song doesn't feel like it does that, then the song hasn't done its job.
Absolutely. And speaking of the like the narrative arc, what's what I think separates songs from some of the other storytelling formats out there, like you talk about in your TED Talk, like movies, you know, books, television shows, etc., is that because it is audio only, yes, there are music videos, but because it's an audio format only, number one, and it is so portable that you can create, yes, there is the narrative of the song independently, but you create your own story when you hear the song in the way that it relates to you emotionally, the way maybe the groove is, you know, how the guitar riffs turn you on or whatever. So you've created, so now it's grown, it's become something different, and it becomes something different for every person who listens to
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
It's really
that's
magic.
That's a great point, actually. That's an excellent point. I think that it's very personal, right? And
yeah.
everybody has that, you know, certain songs are associated with some, you know, event in their life or situation where they, you know, it brings all that back. But it's true. It's all in your head, and it's the song in the end it needs to have emotional power. Otherwise, it's not achieving what at least I think typically it should be doing. And
right.
when it has that emotional power, then that's because it's really stirring you up.
Yeah.
And all of that stuff, whether it's the groove or the sound of the guitar or the singer or the melody, I mean, all those things are super powerful, which is what, you know, makes me excited about it. Every time I'm writing a song, I've said this in a blog post, but every time I write a song and I think it's pretty good, I have no idea how I did it. You know, it's back to that, like I just spent all this time, this very messy, disorganized process of trying to birth the thing, and feel like in the end I polished it and I've fixed all the problems and there it is. It's this thing that it's the best I can do, and now I just don't know how to do it again. And so, like, how do you do the next one?
Yeah.
And I have that feeling like, oh no, I'll never write another song again because I have no idea how to do the last one, and I can't just do another one. I want each one to be distinct. So
yeah,
that's both daunting and thrilling, I guess I would say.
That's a great way of explaining it, because I think a lot of songwriters feel exactly the same way. Like, this was a total F up. Like, how did this even happen?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I got to do it again? What? I got to fill up a whole album like this? What am I going to do? You know? And, you know, that's a great way.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Well, I'm hoping that you guys will be, we have a song, Run, Run, which people particularly like. But I remember we were on a summer vacation in Maine, sitting on an island in Casco Bay outside of Portland. And I remember sitting on the steps in front of this house with an acoustic guitar and just playing this sort of strumming riff. And then the verse melody just kind of came out of my head. And I still remember sitting there, and it just, you know, there was no way I could go and sit on those steps with a guitar and fail 100 more times to come up with something that
right.
I think is, you know, catchy and cool. So, yeah, I guess for me also, if I can say that a lot of a work in technology, the part that's less interesting to me actually is the part where you kind of know how you're going to do it,
yeah.
and it's a matter of just doing it. I mean, there's certainly a lot of satisfaction in writing software and making the thing happen and doing a good job of it and making it fast and making it, you know, organizing the code in a way that's pleasing or easy to maintain or whatever. But it's so different from this process, and
yeah.
I think that. This process where I actually have, I could write a song. You could give me 5 minutes, I could write a song and it would be just awful. I would not want you to hear it.
Okay.
So, I don't know. I really enjoy that sort of mystery and discovery and confusion.
Well, let's go ahead and listen to a little bit of this mystery, discovery, and confusion. The song that you wrote on those front steps there, Run, Run, from Storytown. Guys, check this out. Run, Run on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Okay, so it is now a band. You have the band. You've got the songs. What's happening? We have a record coming out. EP. What do you got?
We have a record. We late fall. We went into the studio and recorded basic. You know, sort of classic. We recorded basic tracks. I spent another couple of months or so doing overdubs. And finally, just a few short weeks ago, did the final mix and master. So now we have the record, and we're trying to figure out what's the kind of best release strategy. Okay. I think in another month, we will release two singles, and we're just gonna try to get people's attention. Hopefully they'll like those things. And I'm trying to figure out what our gigging strategy is. We've been playing not that often since April of last year in the city, and so the band is sounding good. I'd like to play some more. I just want more of all of it. Want to play more. Want to write more music. Eventually, record more. But right now, I'm very proud of the record, and I'm hoping that folks will have an opportunity to hear it.
Who's in the band? Tell us about Storytown.
Sure. I got the band together using friends who are musicians' recommendations. So my drummer is a guy named Tony Cruz, and he has played in Broadway pit bands and in various rock bands. He actually has the best time of any human being I've ever come across. He's just, his time is amazing, and he's very versatile and a great guy. A friend of mine is a singer and a musical theater person named Daphne Rubin Vega. She has a show coming up at the Public Theater in opening in March, actually this month, in New York City. And Tony is her drummer. The bass player is a guy named Rick Wagner. Another friend of mine is Emily Duff, who is a singer-songwriter, really great, lives in the Village of New York. And Rick played on her first album. He's just a musical, intuitive guy. He was in the DBs decades ago, has a history of playing in various bands. He also sings backup in our live performances. And then the keyboard player, another friend of mine, a guy named George Gilmore, who has had a few records out, singer-songwriter, yet another singer-songwriter. There's a lot of us.
Yep.
He has a guy who he had recommended to me, who actually played drums on his record, but is a guy named Charlie Roth. And Charlie is, I describe him as the hardest working man in show business now that James Brown is no longer with us.
Okay.
And Charlie plays drums in some bands. He plays bass in some bands. He plays keyboards for me. And he lives in New York City as well. And those guys have been with me since the first gig. And, you know, they do other projects, but they're all super musical. They bring stuff to the table. They've made the record lots better because they're on it.
Did you do the recording and everything? Since you said you had felt like you were really comfortable with this, did you do the recording yourself, or did you work with a producer, or how did you do it?
I produced the record. I guess what happened, what my general approach to this has been, once I write the song, is I try to make a rough demo from home where I try to create the general feeling of the song, the okay. groove, the sort of texture, with bass part, with drums, I'm not a keyboard player, so my keyboard parts are very rudimentary, and guitar, you know, map it out so yeah. that they can kind of hear what's in my head, and then I work with the band, and then they bring their musicality and their ideas to it, and we just make it a better version of what was originally in my head. So I do that stuff, at the stuff that I was talking about before. I've learned that I can kind of get to that first step at home pretty successfully on my own. And then, but the album we recorded at a studio in Lower Manhattan called Dubway, I worked with a great engineer named Sam Palumbo, who works down there. It's just amazing ears as well as an amazing Pro Tools guy. I produced the record, so I've been the one there for all of the sessions.
Yeah.
That's it.
So you're getting ready to release. You're kind of not sure yet what the gigging strategy is going to be. What do you project that the next 6 to 12 months is going to look like for Storytown?
Yeah, I mean that's kind of like the big mystery. I'm hoping that we can get a broader audience. We'd like to get some attention by working with folks like you, Lou. Get some help from folks to get the word out beyond my friends and family who've been supporting us so far in the gigs in New York. I'm thinking, you know, if we can play a little bit outside of New York in a slightly bigger area, maybe get some radio play, just turn the volume up on the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's as everyone knows, the music business is super easy and predictable. So I won't bore you with all the usual steps.
Today we release a record, tomorrow we're rock stars, you know. Yeah.
Okay. Right, exactly. Yeah, you just turn the crank and out pops a hit record and band.
Okay, speaking of how super easy it is to make it, all you need is a website. So why don't you go ahead and tell everybody where they can find you on the internet and check out maybe some of the shows you might be having coming up and release dates and stuff like that, and to help support, of course, what Storytown is doing.
Yeah, great. Thank you for that. Yeah, the best place to start is we have a website, which is www.storytownband, all one word, storytownband.com. We have a list of we'll post upcoming gigs there as well as press. We're getting press, and this podcast will show up on that list. And then we have a Facebook page, which is Facebook/ Storytown Band again. And that's another good place. You'll see a lot of photos on both Facebook as well as on the website, as well as some videos on the band website. Those are the two, best places to find us.
Excellent.
And then there'll be links there to, find where to get the tracks once we're releasing them. Tracks that you'll hear, that you're hearing on today's podcast, as well as, more stuff to come.
Excellent. All right, Guy, thank you so much for hanging out with us today. We're going to go ahead and wrap up. If you got a minute to hang out, I just need to do a little business with you when we're done. You got a minute?
I certainly do, and I really much appreciate it.
Not a problem. All right, guys, you have been listening to Guy Story. The project is Storytown. You can go to storytownband.com to get in on all the action of what's happening and when the releases are going to be, and check out more great tracks like Run Run. I've heard a few more. They are very, very good. These guys do sort of run the gamut. They cover a lot of sonic and stylistic territory with yet maintaining their own identity. It's very good stuff, and you want to check it out, storytownband.com. You've been listening to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Our website is ludinirockandrollcircus.com. Check back often for new podcasts, new stories of great singer-songwriters, guitarists, musicians, artists from all wide variety of genres and niches. If you are into more hard rock, guitar-driven, metal-type music, please check out our weekly live Facebook podcast. That is the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus, and you can find out more information about that at ludinirockandrollcircus.com. Guys, it's been a lot of fun today. Fascinating talking to Guy. Very thoughtful. Brings a lot of different sort of depth to what he does and his songwriting. So I'm thinking there's going to be a lot of success here, and I'm really enjoying what they're doing. So check them out at storytownband.com. All right, guys. Just want to leave you with one more thought. Just guys, doesn't matter where you're from. Doesn't matter where you live. Mississippi, New York City, Pittsburgh, Philly. It doesn't matter, guys. Just keep one thing in mind. You, yes, you. No matter where you go, no matter where you are, you, my friend, are the revolution. Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. We'll catch you on the next podcast.